Well, good morning, everyone. I'm really excited to be here this morning. My name is Corey Hodson. I am a missionary in Tanzania, East Africa, born and raised here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I'm here with my lovely wife, Kimberly. She is from the West Coast and is still learning how to behave here in civilized Midwest of the U.S. We have three children. We have Naomi, who is 10 years old. We have Elijah, who is 7, and Timothy, who is currently residing up in the balcony. I believe he is 4 months old. It's been a little bit of a change in our life with a third child, with an infant, after having two older children who can brush their teeth mostly, and mostly dress themselves and feed themselves and all this stuff. So I'm excited to be here this morning because I'm a missionary, and being a missionary also means that that I need to be a family man and I need to take good care of my family. Just the other day, we were sitting in our living room. We have a house on the northeast side of town. My wife was sitting in her chair, and Elijah walked in. He had a really nice, like a Rice Krispie treat type snack. And as he walked in, and he was getting ready to eat it, and I'd like to have a bite of that, Elijah, just to make sure it's. He says, well, Mom, if you eat it and it's poisonous, won't you? And she says, better me than you, Elijah. You know, I wouldn't want that to happen. And he kind of looks down for a moment, and you can tell the gears are turning, and he looks at her and says, I guess I better just give it to Dad. And, you know, and I'm sitting right there. So, you know, he wasn't attempting to hide anything from me. I have some really nice stories about Elijah that really are the same things. But we work as a family in Tanzania, East Africa, as missionaries with Grace Ministries International. We live in a city called Mbeya. It is a growing city. It's a large city. It is a city from anywhere between 500,000 and 1.5 million people. It depends on how much you believe the census and whom you talk to. But it is growing, growing, growing. There's a two-lane highway that goes through the city. And when we first, not many cars. You could go wherever you wanted, whenever you wanted. These days, there's traffic all day long. The roads are full. There's pedestrians. There's livestock. One of my favorite memories from the roads in Tanzania was seeing a small 125cc motorcycle on the side of the road with two men on it. And each of those men had a full-grown pig in his lap. And they weren't tied or anything, but they were trying to carry these pigs and drive at the same time and failing spectacularly. Basically, what I do in Tanzania, to sum up before I get into my message, is I do prison ministry in the Mbeya region of southwestern Tanzania. And that's not something that I set out to do. That's not something I originally had a passion to do. However, God put that passion in my heart, and I decided, I made the choice to obey that calling that he placed in my heart, and I supply Bibles, I supply songbooks, we give Bible lessons that we translated from English to those prisoners, and it gets them into the Scriptures. So whether I can be there with them teaching them or not, they are getting God's Word. Those guards in the prison are getting God's Word. Administrators are getting God's Word. And so it's really a special ministry. We will be in Sunday school and be able to go into that in a little bit more depth. We will be returning to Tanzania in August of this year, August 5th. We've purchased our tickets, and so we'll be returning probably for another several years, which is common for us. And one of the things that's required of us as missionaries when we are traveling, of course, is our passport. And so when I saw that the word passport was kind of the theme, along with the verse of 2 Corinthians 5:20 this year for your mission conference, I decided to talk about the passport. And why is the passport important? And so I said, I kind of enjoy history. I enjoy looking at where things started and how they got to be where they are now. And so I looked up in the internet, the never-ending source of truth and reliability, what is a passport and where did the passport come from? And so it was interesting. I was looking in a secular source, and it says the first historical instance of a government-sanctioned pass or something that we could consider a passport is found in the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah, and I'm going to read that to you, chapter 2 and verses 7 through 9. We'll read that quick. Turn there with me if you'd like, but I'm not going to wait for you. It says this, "I also said to him, if it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah? And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request. So he is getting a primitive form of a passport. It's giving him safe conduct of passage from exile where he lives and where he's working as the king's cupbearer to his homeland to rebuild the walls. We fast forward around 600 years into Great Britain in the reign of Henry V. They were issuing passports to their citizens. It was interesting when I read this, their citizens had to pay for the passports. Foreigners in Great Britain who wanted a passport did not have to pay. But those were issued so that they could go from one country to another in a government-sanctioned sort of way. Fast forward another several hundred years in America during the Revolutionary War, also apparently politically correctly called the War of, the War of Independence, but I like the Revolutionary War better. So anyways, Benjamin Franklin, who was a minister in France, brought the idea of a passport to the colonies. And so the American colonies had just a single piece of paper that described the bearer. There was no picture, obviously. And he or she used that when they were traveling. Now, fast forward again, several hundred years, to 1918, when a passport became mandated for international travel. And then again in the 1970s into the 80s, we put pictures on the passports, they became colored, they became laminated to the passports we have today, have computerized chips inside of them, a lot of different anti-forgery type things. And a passport is really not only necessary, but it is part of you as you travel. You can lose anything, you can lose money, you can have stuff robbed from you, but if you still have your passport, it's still security, I still have my identity with me. They can't take that away from me. Now, I want to tell you something. In Dar es Salaam, not the capital of Tanzania, but it is the main city of Tanzania. It's on the Indian Ocean, about 5 million people. And when we go to the airport in Dar es Salaam to travel, maybe we're traveling to another country, to Kenya or to Malawi, or more likely back to the U.S., you have to show your passport several times. We go to the front gate, and there's a generally surly Tanzanian sitting in a chair looking at your passport along with your tickets. And I'm not sure what his actual job is because he doesn't check you in. He doesn't do anything other than allow you into the airport. So you show your passport, you show your tickets, and then as soon as you get in the doors, you have the x-ray machines where your passport once again is checked. Is this person the person that they say that they are? You go through the x-ray machines. One memorable instance in Tanzania, and this was, I think, maybe in 99, I was going and the power happened to be out at the airport. Which means that the x-ray machines were not working, which also means that apparently they had no generators in Tanzania at that time, and so the whole airport was dark, and so we walked through the x-ray machines, and I could have been carrying a bomb full of nails or something onto the airplane, and apparently that wouldn't have bothered anybody. After we go through the x-ray machine, as this story keeps going, believe it or not, you go to another man who doesn't really have an official job, and his job is to once again check your passport and check your tickets, to ensure that it's okay for you to go check in with your regular tickets. So now, before I've actually checked in to my airplane, I've shown my passport three times. And then finally, I go to the British Air counter, or the KLM counter, or the Qatar Air counter, or the Emirates counter, or the Turkish Air counter, or the Swiss Air counter, any of those planes that we commonly use, and I finally show my passport again, and I check into the airplane. But it's not done yet. I show my passport again when I go through immigration on the way out. And then when I get to the top of the escalator, there's another x-ray machine and another guard, and I show my passport again. Is anybody keeping track of how many times I've used my passport? I kind of lost track myself. The point being, passports are very important. That is the only way to identify who you are when you're traveling. They don't know who you are. They don't know where you came from. They don't know why you're going there unless you have that important piece of identification. Now, why did Rush Creek Bible Church choose the passport as a key part of their missions conference? Well, I'm going to talk to you this morning about three different ways that the passport is an important part of our spiritual life. And what is exactly our passport in a spiritual sense? My three points that we'll be talking about this morning, the passport really is the Holy Spirit in our hearts. My second point, that our home country is heaven. My third point, that we are ambassadors, not participators in the world. And then we're going to wrap things up. So we're just going to go through here. I'm going to be sensitive to the time I've been given. And I'm really great at saying a lot of words in a short amount of time. And so I might even be speeding up. So if you don't hear very quickly, maybe set your dial a little forward and then we'll do well together, all right? I look at my wife every once in a while, and sometimes she does this a little bit, and sometimes I notice that, sometimes not. But anyways, I also, when I preach, I like to use a lot of scripture. I hope that you're not listening to Corey's words this morning. I hope that God's word is what is penetrating your heart this morning. I hope that it is his word and his authority that is impacting you this morning, and that I am simply a delivery vessel for that. And so please bear with me. We're going to go through lots of different scriptures, but that is what is what's important here that this morning. 1 Corinthians 3:16 basically talks about that we are God's temple and that he dwells in us. Okay, when we receive the Holy Spirit into our lives, when we say those words, when we make that proclamation that we cannot save ourselves and that we need his grace in our life, we become his temple. I'm going to tell you another story. We went, you guys know Steve and Barb Sherman. They are members here at Rush Creek Bible Church. They're also colleagues of mine in Tanzania. Now, when we were in language school in 2006, we went to Lake Tanganyika. Lake Tanganyika is on the western border of Tanzania. It's the second largest freshwater lake by volume in the world. And it was really interesting. We went out several hundred yards in Steve's little rubber boat, and he had a fish finder. And just a little ways out from shore, the depth finder said that it was already 1,100 feet deep. And so it was a little bit scary because you could see storms here and there, and we were just in this little rubber boat. Well, we did some fishing for a while, and it was a huge failure, but we had a really nice time. And as we went back to the shore, I don't know if you men have ever done this. When you are by a body of water and there's sand or something, what do you start to do? You kind of just start to dig. Play in the sand, play in the dirt. I don't know if it's that five-year-old that kind of dwells deep inside of us. But anyways, I'm sitting there on the shore and just kind of playing in the dirt and making a little mound or something. And then I looked up and there was a bunch of angry-looking Tanzanians sitting right there in front of me. And I'm only a couple months into language school, so I can speak a little bit, a few words here and there. But especially under pressure, it was a little more difficult. And so basically, I surmised from what they were saying to me was, who are you? Where have you come from? Where's your passport? And I'm sitting there, and I had like dirty shorts on and a dirty shirt because I've been fishing, and I'm playing in the mud like a little kid. And Steve and his son are somewhere off to the side. And basically, I'm like, I don't have my passport on me. I live in Iringa, where I go to language school, and it certainly wasn't as put together as what I'm making it seem, and you know, please forgive me. I'm a missionary here, and eventually they let me go because they originally were accusing me of coming over on a secret boat from the Congo to invade Tanzania somehow. But they let me go in that instance. But again, they wanted to see my passport. We as Christians have a passport which is written into our hearts once we receive the Holy Spirit. We're going to go to the book of Ephesians. Go to the book of Ephesians with me. We're going to go to chapter 1. I have my iPad up here so I can find things pretty quickly. I don't have to turn the pages anymore. I'm going to go a little bit quickly only because time. But Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to go to verse 13. Reading out of the New International Version. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. A lot in those verses, a lot of sermons probably contained within those two verses. This morning, as we talk about the passport is important as we travel. It's important to identify us, but our identification as Christians really comes from that sealing work of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit enters into our hearts in that figurative language, he seals us. He is a guarantee of our inheritance, of course, which is heaven. Several years ago when we were in the States a lot, there was this guy on a commercial for the Men's Warehouse. And he always said, you're going to like the way you look, I guarantee it. So his guarantee was that you would like something. It was his promise. It was his way of saying, it's going to be this way. Okay, how much greater then is a guarantee coming from the Holy Spirit, coming from God himself, saying when he is in us, it is a guarantee. He seals us. He seals our hearts. Our passport, our identification in Christ is that sealing, is that guarantee that we have in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 basically says the same thing. The Spirit is in our heart as a guarantee. And so that's strong language. It's not the kind of language that leaves you to think maybe this way or that way. A guarantee is a solid thing. It is a promise that we have. So I want to know, do people recognize your passport? When I'm in airports, when I'm traveling around, I see people, especially towards the end of the flight when you have to start filling out the little form to say, you know, here's where I'm going, here's how long I'll be in the country, here's my flight number, all this this information that no one will ever look at again. They look at that stuff, and I see people. I like to look around and see what the different passports look like. The U.S. passport, for instance, is a blue passport. Dark blue, has the U.S. Seal on the front. It's the spread golden eagle with the holding the different things. And these days, there's a little sign on the bottom to show there's a radio tag inside that can communicate electronically. But other countries have different passports. Some of them I've seen don't even have color pictures. So passports are different all over the world. What is your passport? How do people recognize the sealing of the Holy Spirit in the life, that passport that you carry with you that identifies you? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Please turn there with me. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Most of us know this. For those of you who don't, it's the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. Now, when I was growing up, I always said the fruits of the Spirit because there's a bunch of things listed here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They're all listed in a row. But you can see there that it's a singular noun there. But the fruit of the Spirit is one thing. The fruit of the Spirit is one thing. People can see where your passport is. They can see where you belong by the fruit that you show. Okay, this is not an a la carte list where you wake up in the morning and say, well, yesterday was love and joy. Today is Sunday, I'm going to go with kindness, and let's throw in some self-control, just for good measure. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit is something that we should be showing every day because of the Holy Spirit in us, in full, all of those things. How do we do that? We trust in Christ. We trust that the Holy Spirit works through us. But people should be seeing that. That's how they say, this man, this woman is a Christian. They have the Holy Spirit sealed in their heart. That's their passport. That is where they are. That is who they are. That is where they belong. Speaking of where we belong, and I'm just going to move through quickly here, folks. Our home country is in heaven. Point number two. Our home country is in heaven. Philippians 3, 20 to 21. Turn there with me, please. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. So our citizenship is not here. Okay, my U.S. passport shows that I am a citizen of the U.S., okay, I don't have to be born here, but my parents have to be from here. Okay, I was born in Grand Rapids. I am a citizen here. My birth certificate says I'm from here. My parents were from here. I am a U.S. citizen. We as Christians are not citizens of the world. It's an interesting thing having children grow up on the mission field. Our children, Naomi and Elijah, have spent most of their lives in Tanzania. The Tanzania they call home. Timothy's never been there, but most of his life, as long as we continue working there, will be in Tanzania. And so we get to a point as they grow older where they start to struggle about what is home. And so we stop asking kids, especially missionary kids, where's home for you? We ask them, what is your passport country? Okay, because Naomi and Elijah, to them, home is Tanzania. Okay, this before we left in this summer to return here to the U.S., I kept saying, guys, are you excited to go home? It's like, Dad, stop saying that. We're already home. Okay, and this was hard because the first couple years of our last term, they always wanted to come back here and they didn't like Tanzania. But as that transition, Tanzania once again became home for them. They felt that was home. This is their passport country. We oftentimes forget that our passport country is heaven, as it says there in Philippians 3. We are simply pilgrims here. We are sojourners. We are traveling through here. Okay, we are born, we live, we make decisions, and we die. And those decisions we make throughout our life are going to determine where our eternity is spent. Okay, that passport that we choose for ourselves through God's grace or through ignoring God's grace is going to decide Am I going to have an eternity with Jesus Christ, or am I going to have an eternity without him and in pain and in suffering with the devil? And so things like that. We are not citizens here. I am a citizen of the U.S. according to my passport. But more importantly, I am a citizen of heaven because I have asked Jesus Christ into my life. I've put my faith in him. I've put my faith in his death on the cross, in the forgiveness of his blood, in his resurrection, and knowing that he lives today and that his son, Jesus Christ, is in glory right now with God the Father. We are ambassadors. We are not participators in this world. And as we go through, I'm going to mention some verses. We're not going to go there. Mark 2:16 talks about Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners. But did Jesus ever sin? Jesus never sinned. Do we ever sin? Of course we do. We sin all the time. However, our job is to try and emulate Jesus Christ. Okay, we are to be in the world, but not of the world. We are to be following the Spirit and living in the Spirit, not living in the world and following, as older translations say, the flesh, where we are simply trying to please ourselves and satisfy the lusts of the flesh rather than following those things that the Spirit has for us in our lives. Tanzania is a hard place to be as a Christian because it doesn't have a Christian history. The States, even though many people are starting to say it is no longer a Christian country, has a Judeo-Christian ethic from many, many hundreds of years in the past. Tanzania doesn't have that. It's really hard for me as a missionary to go there and to show people how Christ lived, to emulate a Christian lifestyle, to be an example, when it's so easy to fall into another way of living. And one way of doing that is bribery. I get stopped by the police almost every time I drive. Okay, and I'm not getting pulled over because most of the police don't have vehicles. They sit at the side of the road, usually on a bench under a tree, and when they see me coming, they get up in the road and they stop me. And so I stop most of the time, and I talk to them, and usually they just want to know where I'm going, what I'm doing, and because I speak Swahili fluently, I yap at them for a little bit and go. And however, sometimes they get really fussy with me, and they it's like they're set on finding me for something silly. And it would be really easy for me. It would be really easy for me to just pull out a 10,000 shilling note, which is like $6, and that would really make that policeman's day, just to take that out and say, you know what, let's make this all go away. I'm going to give this to you, and I'm going to be in my way. No one would really know. It would be great, but that simply would be me giving in to the stresses and the pressures and the pushing of Tanzanian culture. That's what everybody does. Okay, but I'm not there to do what everybody does. I am there to show them Jesus Christ in their lives. My passport shows that I'm a citizen of heaven, and I need to show that to those that I'm with. Our passports, though, do not ensure a free pass to an easy life on earth, which is our temporary dwelling. 2 Timothy 3:12 talks about those desiring to live a godly life will suffer persecution. So remember that. Just because our heavenly citizenship is here and is in our hearts, that doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy for us. As I was reading something about the U.S. passport, it was a statement that really struck me. And as we close here, the actual entitlement of a U.S. passport is to allow its bearer back into the United States. Okay, what is the actual entitlement of our passport of the Holy Spirit in our lives? It allows us back into heaven someday to return to God's glory. Okay, while we are on earth, we are showing people, I don't belong here. My citizenship is in heaven, yet I am obliged because of 2 Corinthians 5:20 to be an ambassador, to represent Jesus Christ, my King, in my home while I am on earth to those who are lost. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. I want to challenge you this morning. Those of you who have Christ in your hearts, you already have a job. You have a job to be an ambassador. What kind of ambassador are you? Are you a silent ambassador who does not speak to people, whose passport is hidden, who keeps it in your pocket, or are you one that wears it out on their sleeve, that shows it, that flaunts it, that says, I am a Christian, I am from heaven, I am going to heaven, I want you to come with me. Let's close in a quick word of prayer before the rest of the sermon or the rest of the worship service gets wrapped up. Lord, I thank you for this time this morning. I thank you for Brooke. I thank you for Alex. I thank you for the other missionaries who have ministered here during this conference. I thank you, Lord, for your holy words and for the encouragement and for the instruction that we gain from them. Lord, I pray for Pastor John. that you'll just prepare his heart and his body for the serious surgery and those doctors and nurses and technicians that will be accomplishing that. Please guide their hands and their minds as they do that. Lord, I thank you for the ministries here, and we just thank you for the worship team, and we thank you for this time that we can continue to worship you in song. In your name we pray. Amen.